I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Shaanxi Province in northwestern China. We're just south of Inner Mongolia. Come along and join me for a visit with Paul Su and Simon Zhang about China's relationship with other countries around the world, the quest to mitigate pollution via solar, wind, and nuclear power, and the country's mandate to transition to hybrid and electric vehicles. Paul Su is a longtime university professor in Xi'an. He currently works as a senior tour guide with Simon, who's manager of the second European department of Shaanxi Overseas Tourist Company. Join me on the road in Shaanxi with Paul and Simon as they share their insights about China today. We'll also visit Mount Huishan, 75 miles from the capital city of Xi'an. It's reminiscent of Yosemite, and it's known as one of China's five great mountains and the site of the world's most dangerous hiking trail. Simon was Paul's student, so you guys go way back.
Yeah.
Paul, your wife is quite legendary in the tourism world in the whole country of China.
That's correct.
She really has been a game changer in modeling a unified philosophy of tourism in China, is that correct?
Yeah.
Tell us about China today reaching out to the world.
Actually, Chinese government has been trying to get more attention of the people from other countries because in the early 1990s, we were just a short of foreign currency, especially U.S. dollars, to do the international trade. And after decades of efforts, eventually Chinese government has already accumulated a lot of the hard currency, the U.S. dollars, by doing trade with other countries. And also tourism is part of it. We have a lot of the U.S. dollars, so that's why Chinese government is investing in different countries on different continents, like South Asia, like Southeast Asia, like Africa, Latin American countries. I mean, Venezuela, Argentina, Brazil, and so on and so forth.
So in a way, there's a spin-off there. There's an ambassadorship to the world of China because of its interaction and participation in projects around the world away from home.
Actually, now we have extra capital. We cannot use all of them up right here in China. And we also have a lot of mature technology, like making tunnels through mountains, making, say, the railway track, rail track for the speed train. And also we have, say, good knowledge and technology in making or in establishing the thermal power station and the hydraulic power station, nuclear power station. As you all know, that now we are helping the British government to build the nuclear reactor for the production of the electricity back in UK.
As long as we're on that subject, let's talk closer to home in China.
Yeah.
And one of the disconnects is the pollution. China is working on it. There are people that are putting their brains to work to try and solve that problem. Talk to us about some of the ideas.
Yeah, we are not only putting the brains on doing that, but also we have already invested a lot of money improving the ecological environment. Take Xi'an, this city, for example. All the boilers, which were used to offering the heat in winter time, originally they burned coal, but now all those boilers are shut down. Instead, we are using natural gas to offer heat, to heat the apartment buildings in the city and outside the city. So now we have more blue days than before.
Going forward with the automobile, what specific things are on the horizon? I've heard talk of China aggressively moving to electric cars versus gasoline powered.
Say something about that. First of all, from last winter, for the whole winter, we have control over the cars coming out. If it ends in the odd number, they are only allowed to come out on the odd date. For the even number, the same. Yeah.
Right.
So we had less pollution for last winter. And
Based on restricting.
Yeah. And now the central government in Beijing is encouraging local government in different provinces to build more stations for people to recharge their electric cars.
Right,
people are encouraged to use green energy, say, transportation tools like cars and buses and so on. For the buses running in the city, Xi'an, most of them, they use natural gas instead of using the traditional fuel, that's gasoline, less pollution.
I know that 1/3 of all cars planet Earth today are bought by the Chinese. Volkswagen, number one sales are in China.
Right.
Volvo, number one sales in China.
Actually, just now you talk about Volvo, right? Mm-hmm. It's already bought by a Chinese company. Yeah, they have a very great plan about the environmentally friendly cars in the future. Yep. Yes, yes. Yep. I've already heard about that and read about that. Mm-hmm. And not only Volvo, actually, but also some other famous brands. They have the same plan, like the company producing Porsche. By the year 2025, every 8 cars produced by that company, 5 of them will use the clean energy.
So, okay, so let's go away from the automobile. The other big thing that you hear about, industrial pollution is a huge factor in China today.
Right, that's correct.
What is on the drawing table right now to minimize and change that factor?
First of all, Chinese government has a great plan to build more nuclear power stations, mainly in the coastal provinces in the east and south of China. And secondly, we like to produce more power by using, say, the wind power, the solar power, and so on and so forth. So they are safer.
So that's a major initiative today in China.
Yes, yes, especially in the northwest of China. In most provinces in the northwest of China, it's quite windy there, and so we can use the wind power to produce electricity.
Yes. Are you talking about Mongolia?
We're talking about Inner Mongolia, and also there are altogether 5 provinces and autonomous regions in the northwest of China, including Shanxi province. This is you are staying. So this is a big, big program.
Because I know in Ulaanbaatar, they're working on trying to create solar in the little irks, the people's indigenous houses.
A lot of people, they are using the power produced either by wind or the solar for bathing and cooking, for both, yes.
It's my great honor to have all of you come here. Thank you.
Well, we are honored that you would spend time with us. This has been great. Simon, here we are about, 2.5 hours from Xi'an?
Yeah, so about 126 kilometers from Xi'an to this mountain, Huangshan.
And if you were a tourist staying in Xi'an, could you arrange for a bus tour to come here?
Yes, almost every week we have groups come here because Mountain Huangshan is very famous for hiking groups. People come here for hiking, they stay at the top of the mountain, take some good pictures.
Can you stay overnight here?
Actually, they have 2 kinds of hotel. At the top of this mountain, they got some small hotels.
That must be really fun. Have you ever come up there and stayed with your family, with your daughter?
Well, actually, I stayed overnight with my daughter because my daughter wants to see the sunrise. Stay overnight here, and next day, early in the morning, we can see the sunrise. That's very nice pictures.
Oh, I bet it's incredible.
Yeah.
So this is a national treasure of the country of China. This is one of the sacred mountains in China, correct?
Yeah, correct. It's actually Mountain Huangshan. And another 2 mountains. This is a very famous one for its steep. Every day, a lot of people come here for hiking. And even for my company, every week we have a bus tour come here, people from different country to come here for hiking. Some of them, they stay overnight at the top of this mountain.
Do they hike down from the top?
Yeah, yes. And also, there's a very nice hotel at the foot of this mountain. That is, people come take bus, come here. They stayed overnight at the hotel at the foot of the mountain Huangshan. And then next morning, we'll take cable car to come here as what we are doing now, to take some pictures, and they go down, take bus back to the city.
Do a lot of people come here and hike all the way from the bottom to the top without taking the tramway?
Yeah. The people mostly they come here just for some hiking tours because they got very good scenery, natural scenery.
So that's one of the real draws and attractions, is to hike and not take the tram.
Yeah, correct.
Let's go back in time. What's the history of the sacredness of this mountain? I understand that there are a lot of Taoist temples here.
Yes, there are a lot of temples. They're related with Taoism. Taoism is China's local religion. It started some 2,000 years ago, and the people stayed in a Taoism temple. They want to just train themselves and to temper themselves and try to be good behavior and do some exercise. It's quite unique. It's different from other religions. The biggest temple at the foot of this mountain, we call it Yu Quan Yuan. It's very famous because they hosted the tallest god of China. We call it Yu Huang Da Di. It's the great emperor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a real place that people make a pilgrimage to.
Yeah, that's why people come here for the worship, for the pilgrim trip.
It's just so dramatic and so steep, so unlike and different from the valley floor, too.
That's quite unique. That's why this got so many steps and so steep. We should firstly be careful for the secures.
This is one of the most dangerous hikes in the entire country of China, isn't it?
Right, correct.
So how often do you have somebody fall off and die? Pretty regular?
No, actually, recent years is because we got cable car, and most of the people take cable car to get to the top of the mountain.
Okay.
That will be quite safe. But when I was a university student, that has been some 16 years ago, I heard some every year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people will
fall off. Yeah.
That was a bad thing.
Yeah. But it doesn't happen that much anymore.
Not much now.
This is really great. And so, again, the name of the mountain is called?
Mountain Huashan. Huashan Mountain. Huashan.
Good. Yeah. Very good. Well, Simon, thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Very good. Mm-hmm. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from China. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.